This week on the show, we're going to dive into the world of voiceover and the people behind those voices. You hear them in your ears, on the radio, you see it on the TV, in your commercials. Marianne Iveson is one of those people. She's also got a very successful podcast called Let's Take This Outside, which focuses on all things outdoors, the people, places, and things involved in it. And she's going to talk about that journey, how it all started, what she does, what she did, and what she will do. Hi, Marianne. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm nervous.
Nervous about what? You're the professional here. I'm some asshole in a basement with a microphone in front of me and gonna ask some questions to my friends. So
I personally thought you were in a dodgy back alley with that background. So
it would definitely, the micro content I would get out of this is from a standpoint of video and setting up in a back alley in Vancouver, as you could probably imagine, wouldn't be, it would definitely make for an entertaining show, I would say. But the brick wall has made its way from the old show to the new show.
Well, I'm so happy that you wanted to bring me on this show because I'm like, oh, this is a pretty cool concept or very cool concept.
Well, I wanted to branch out a bit. I love the music side of it and my career takes me all over the place and I get to meet all sorts of people, but it was putting me into a space where I was meeting all these other interesting people that not necessarily in my profession, but I want to still talk to them. And I'm like, it doesn't necessarily fit within the format of that show. I did 100 episodes of that show. It's time to change things up a little bit. And you've always been extremely personable on Dean's show. We have a love of the outdoors. And I'm like, you know, I want to talk about your journey a bit. And we've got fellow voiceover friends, I think. I've got some voiceover people in my life that are working and doing great. And it's a fascinating world to me. So I think as part of the teaching of this show and part of the introducing people to various new people and professions, the object is simple. And that is, did you ever want to know what it was like to work in voiceover? Because if you do, I've got the perfect candidate right here. And welcome to the show. And it's show number two. So we're still building, but I appreciate you making the time. So thank you.
Well, considering that your first guest, it's Tara Sloan, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's a hard to follow up. I have to say that must be hard. It's going to be hard to follow, but I'll do my best.
Oh, she's wonderful and you're wonderful. And we're going to have a great chat because we love the outdoors. And people who love the outdoors, you know, can speak to that and speak to the outdoors. I have access to potentially a little bit more outdoorsy things than you do over there on the east side. I've got mountains. I got an ocean. I do have lakes, bears in the back. Yard, things like that. I don't know what part of the East you're in as far as the black bear in your backyard part of it. But
Well, I live downtown Ottawa, so black bears aren't really a thing down here. But I see black bears a couple times a season in Gatineau Park across the way. Across the river, like a few minutes away. Yeah.
So you've got an amazing show. We're going to get into a whole bunch of stuff, but Marianne joins me. She's got a great show called Let's Take This Outside. And for the record, I'd like to point out that this logo is awesome with the tree replacing the eye.
Do you like that?
I love it. I think it's great. Yeah. For people listening, it's a nice, simple, mountainy looking logo. A picture in the background, some great trees. Let's Take This Outside. But the eye is replaced with a tree and it fits perfectly. So, hey, awesome stuff. So
I'm sure it's a creative too. Like I decided that I wanted to update my logo. I originally created it on Canva and then I was like, you know, I was probably about 6 months into my podcast and I'm like, I want to redo it. I want to redo the logo. So I contacted, so I got it professionally done. And we went back and forth and I'm like, I just want simple. I just want something really easy and just loved having the eye as a tree. Yeah. And I'm really happy with it too, but I'm trying not to touch it. I'm trying not to, like, as a creative, I always want to like update and make things better. And Yeah. So like, I love it the way it is, and it's very simple.
It's a, you know, less is more a lot. We have a mutual friend with Matt Kundle. And when I was talking to Matt about this concept, and I was sending him some logo ideas, and I actually just dug the Dude Did Will black on white aspect. And the microphone down in the corner here was sort of like, I want to kind of include that in. And he's like, I don't think you need it. I'm like, you're right. I don't need it in the main logo, but for the video portion, I like that in the corner. So it's like,
I like
less
in the corner too.
Less is more. Less
if
is
there's
more.
Anything Matt Kundle hates more is a microphone and a podcast logo.
I know.
If there's anything, he hates it. And I completely agree with him on that, but it looks good in this concept, I will say.
Well, it's an interesting one. And, you know, my whole mission now is to just make sure Matt's uncomfortable with all the shows that I'm putting out. So that's great. You know what I'm saying? So it's a funny one. But anyways, welcome to the show. You've got you're in voiceover. You do tons of stuff. You've got an outdoor podcast. Man, there's a few things that we can discuss. Mm-hmm. I am not going to isolate you as per the professional courtesy here, but
thank you.
I do have
that.
A question for you, and to get this thing rolling, Marianne, what do you do?
What do I do? I think I could say I'm an audio expert. Is that a fair assumption? Would you agree with that? I do pretty much all things possibly audio. And that I would have to say stems from radio, which I'm sure we're going to get to. But essentially my main job, something I started about a year and a half ago, was voiceover work. And that's, again, stem from radio. Voiceover work, I do commercials, I do e-learning, online videos, podcast intros as well. So voiceover, I would say, is my main thing. Something that I'm truly very, very passionate about that comes straight from my heart. Because with voiceover work, you're doing a job for someone else, and I absolutely love it. But with my podcast, I feel like my heart is outside of my body, and like I'm creating this completely from my soul. So I have a podcast called Let's Take This Outside, and it's about, I talk to athletes, outdoor professionals, scientists about their connection to nature. And it's been a roller coaster. My 1 year anniversary is coming up in March for this podcast. What's incredibly cool about this is that the outdoors, this podcast is pretty, it's a niche. And I've been able to like secure a few sponsors on it already, which has been really, really cool. So to monetize something that you create, it makes it a job now. But I love it.
It's a difficult space to monetize, and people are that don't know about podcasts or whatever. We mm-hmm. all still try to figure out ways to monetize, and mm-hmm. You know, it can get niche-y. Like, it's easier for somebody that has like a movie podcast to get Cineplex on board or something like that. But for us that have different kinds of shows, and I'm speaking to people. It's mm-hmm. not like I'm. You know, we're not talking auto parts and I have a car sponsor or something. So you've got a great premise with Let's Take This Outside, because it can cover so many grounds. And you have this love of the outdoors, which I want to mm-hmm. talk about, because you've got some pics on your Twitter profile, which are pretty awesome, of you cross country skiing, which is near and dear to my heart, because I was a competitive skate skier for a long time.
That's so cool.
In high school.
I had no idea.
And by competitive, I mean I was out there competing.
No podiums? No podiums?
Not necessarily mean that there was a podium of any size. No. But I definitely was competing. And it was something I greatly, greatly enjoyed. So where did that, where does this outdoor love come from?
Ooh, well, it all kind of stems from, I grew up on a farm, so I've kind of always spent a lot of time outside in southwestern Ontario, but it was very flat there, but spent most of my time playing outside when I was a kid. Moved around a bit for school, ended up living in Ottawa, but I also, there was a stretch in my 20s where I'd go visit my sister in Canmore, Alberta, where she lived. Ah. Now she lives in Cochrane, Alberta, but essentially I fell in love with the mountains when I was out there. And I started hiking when I was out there. And when I moved to Ottawa, there's so many wonderful, great hiking trails in Ottawa and in Gatineau. So And once you get into that lifestyle, as you know, out West, once you get into that lifestyle, you meet people, you start falling in love with other sports. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hiking turned into trail running, and then I got a bike and I turned into a cyclist. And then I've been cross country skiing for about 5 or 6 years now, which I absolutely love. I never did any winter sports growing up because we really didn't have snow. No. And I kind of wish that I was able to cross country ski as a kid, because I'd like to think that I took it up like pretty easily, and I love it. And I love going fast, and I love being outside 365 days a year. And you know, I've tried rock climbing here. I've tried like any kind of ice climbing, anything you can imagine. I've pretty much almost tried it all, and I want to keep trying things. But it's the thing that I live for. It's the thing that brings me the most joy. It's where I feel like the most myself, the most present. It's very like meditative. I know out there you have a few more options with, like you said, oceans and mountains. And
well, when I moved out this way, I'm an Ontario boy. So for me, I know, I know what you're saying. It was lakes, it was snowmobiling, it was ice fishing. It was all the things you do. But once I moved out here and I'm like an hour away from a mountain, and there's just something. If you don't live near a mountain, once you do, it's extremely tough to leave that. And I go looking for them when I travel for work and all the rest of it. If I'm in overseas in Europe, I am looking for it. I'm looking for that side, and the ocean, and we have the ability here, and it just ingrains you. It ingrains like inside of you. And if you're like me and you want to do as much of that outdoor stuff as possible, I'm surprised you don't live out West, if I'm being honest, because there's so much here. And you can make do with, you know, Ottawa and that area, lakes and all that stuff. And you got Blue Hill there, which is nice. You know, and you've got some Montreal, you got a little bit of mountainy stuff in Quebec, but I am surprised you being an outdoor enthusiast that you aren't out West.
Well, I used to go once a year. So I kind of got my mountain fix there, but, for me, it's that they make the outdoors so accessible here. The thing is, I know you're driving an hour to the mountains, totally worth it. But for me to go cross country skiing, it's a 12-minute drive, or there's like, it's very, very accessible. Or I just jump on a bike path a second from my house, and they close down the entire Gatineau Park for you to cycle all summer long. There's like a couple days where you can drive, but you have like a lot, like you have a lot of space to safely cycle up some really, really big hills. So they make the outdoors so accessible, and that's why it's been so hard to leave. And then they have world-class cross-country ski trails that are like hundreds of or 100 kilometers or more than that of, again, world-class cross-country ski trails. So I have the Adirondacks which is upstate New York, only 3-4 hours away. So, you know, Quebec is like booming with outdoor activities as well. So there's so many options. So it's been really hard to leave, but it's mostly about community for me. That's kind of made me stick. Because having to start that over at 34 years old is actually overwhelming. But if I was to move anywhere, I almost moved to Calgary last year. What I call a a quarter life crisis. Or a midlife crisis. But I have a lot of people out there and like the outdoors, but again, really hard to leave here, to be honest.
Sure. I mean, mine was work related, but, I mean, once it's in you and you're like, oh, it's tough. Yeah, I have to go find it now. Like I actually get withdrawal from the mountains and the ocean and stuff like that. It's quite something.
What else do you do? Like what other outdoor?
I mean, paddleboarding, camping, as much as possible. Mm-hmm. It's funny. I haven't skied in like 10 years, but I skied in Ontario when I was there, and here I've got the best skiing and probably snowboarding in the world. But I actually don't do that. I'm more of a water baby. So for me, it's paddleboarding. It's being in the ocean as much as possible for me. I love being around that area. We've got some incredible camping here. And so I'm very much involved in that, cycling or biking and things like that. And there's tons of hiking and stuff to do here. I just saw something yesterday on the news about this guy that decided to did 75 hikes, and he hiked 75 mountains out here in British Columbia. Incredible. And he does not look like an athlete, just saying. He does not look like it's something that you know, he's benefited from health-wise either. Like I'm just saying so it's one of those things where I'm looking at it going, he's at the peak of like four of the biggest mountains we have here in British Columbia. And I'm like, huh, all right, I guess I better step up the game a little bit. Cause you know, if there's all that that I'm missing. So yeah, I try to find new things to do, but it's busy also. So it sounds tough.
Like you're going on the road again soon. So I'm sure.
Yeah. There's going to be a little bit of road work coming up, but so I try to find it when I go, which includes when I'm touring and stuff, and it includes running and cycling and hiking and getting into oceany and lake kind of stuff when it comes out there. So I'm with you on that side of it. So we'll dive back into the podcast and where it's going down the way. But you're talking about being in audio and being in voiceover. Mm-hmm. It's been like 12 years and you're doing tons of different stuff. So how did you do it? How did you get into this world, and you know, which led you to obviously start a show? But how did you do it?
Well, it could start from, we can maybe go way back to my my little play school recorder when I was a kid. I used to, it was like blue and white and red and yellow, I think. And I used to like record the extra of the songs on the radio onto tape. And then I would like extra the song or intro the song myself. Oh. I was a child when I did that. So I think back, I'm like, oh my gosh, I wanted to do this for a long time. But I kind of fell into it. I thought I was going to go into like sport. I thought I was going to go into kinesiology when I was in high school. I don't have the science grades. I'm definitely like a creative English nerd, you know, phys ed. That's where I excelled. Sure. But not the sciences, not the maths by any means. But then I was like, oh, maybe I'll go to communications. I co-opted a radio station when I was in high school, went to Conestoga College for radio broadcasting. And then I've been working ever since, essentially. Always been that kind of person that's like reaching out, trying to make connections. And it's kind of really paid off for me. And I've moved all over Ontario. I've only worked in Ontario, everywhere from like Sudbury to Chatham to Ottawa. And when I've been in Ottawa about 10, 11 years now. But I was in radio that whole time. I've done mornings, I've done middays, I've done drive, I've done evenings, I've done it all. And the last station I was at, I was doing afternoon drive at Bell Media here for Pure Country. Got laid off in February 2021. Yeah. Middle of the pandemic, right?
Of course.
And what's crazy is I was having a conversation with a friend about this the other day of how many skills that I acquired in radio. Something else I'm doing or starting to do is live emceeing, actually.
You were hosting some stuff lately.
Yeah, I was hosting a thing at the Rideau Carlton Casino here with Jason McCoy. Mm-hmm. He was playing, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I missed the energy of this because I do everything from home. So I'm hoping to do more live emceeing, but there's those kind of skills. There's the audio editing skills. There's the like presentation on microphone, is presenting, interviewing. There's so many things that I was able to do that I'm like, oh my gosh, I can turn this into my own business.
Yeah.
And my heart said, I'm such a nerd, but my heart was like, try something on your own before you work for someone else again.
Sure.
And so I tried voiceover. My first fall was unbelievable. Matt Kundle, our mutual friend, was like, you got to do a podcast. You got to do a podcast. I'm like, no. Finally succumbed to it. I'm like, but I want it to be something I'm super passionate about. Started the podcast, fell in love with it. I've also been doing contract radio work again for Bell Media, which has been great because like I do it from home.
Yeah.
The people I work with are like, they're out of Toronto. They're sensational. They're easy to work with. So that's been great too, because there's like some separation between what I used to do full time and what I'm doing now. Yeah.
And you take all that training, and I know a lot of radio guys out here, right? Yeah. So like Todd Hancock, who was on the network, and Danger that were on CFOX, and all those guys got let go, and you know, they have to transfer those skills over. Mm-hmm. And the podcast word is a bit of a swear word I'm learning amongst the industry, because like as far as the radio industry, because there's the radio and then there's everyone that gets laid off from radio that kind of gets in this world of like, well, what do we do now? And there's only a handful of radio jobs. And is there a bit of a stigma to the podcast space? I mean, it's exploded over the last 2 years or even 4 years, I would say, especially out of the pandemic, and everyone has a show, including some asshole everyone in the basement. Some asshole in the basement that gets a brick wall. But the idea is, with the training and the things that you've learned and how to edit and all the rest of it, was that transition like a no-brainer for you? And I can do this, and I'm gonna go for it, and it's gonna be easier for somebody like you that has that training. Mm-hmm. Or was it scary? I don't know if scary is the word I'm looking for, but it just seems like a huge undertaking. It's like, did you consider completely getting out and just doing something totally out of the industry because you were beaten down and all the rest of it, or was there energy coming out of that?
What I say to people is the way I built my business was with anxiety.
Okay.
And now I'm in a much better place. But back to your original question about podcasting, is there a stigma? Is there like, that's hard to answer. I think that people think that podcasting is easier than it is. I will say that the interviewing skills and, you know, the audio skills and all of, like, that comes naturally to me, but it's everything else that people don't see. Podcasting, building a business, that is like, people don't understand how hard and how many components there are to building a podcast, building an audience, how long it takes. You need patience, you need perseverance, you need to be creative. You need, like, there's so many components to it. It's not just like, I'm like a white guy in a basement. I'm just going to like buy this $100 microphone and I'm going to make $1 million a year because I want to share my opinions. Right. It's like, that's not, sorry.
Kind of like this show is what you're saying. Kind of no, like this show. That's no, been you have Marianne on the Do Did Will podcast, everybody.
No. You have a logo. It's lovely. You have this beautiful layout. You know exactly what your show's about. It's planned out great. You've already had an entire other show. You have experience. There's a difference. I'm not lumping you into that whatsoever.
It's a gag. What I'm saying is, it's funny to me because it must frustrate the radio people a little bit that this exists now, and that with a little bit of research on the internet and a handful of questions asked to some creative people, that you can design out something, or some random person like myself can just design out something and try to move ahead. And you guys have invested so much of your time into, like, we do it like this, and then it goes like this, and it goes like this. And then I'm like, why don't you come on my show that I created, you know, a couple of years ago with no training? And you must be like, God damn it. You know, how long did I spend? No. How long did I spend, you know, in that? You know, it's just interesting to me to kind of see how the space and how the people work within it. And I agree with you because, I'm in essence relaunching a show here from scratch, taking some, you know, I'm on the same RSS feed, but I'm taking my listeners from the other show into this and saying, thank you for sticking around. But I have to build it from scratch, you know?
Honestly, no, I don't think it's frustrating at all. I think people being authentic is 100% the reason why podcasts exist. You don't have to be like, I know what I just said, but like, you don't have to be a professional for this to go well. It's just easy. Some aspects of it are just easier for me naturally because I put my entire career into it. However, what's funny, and I will point this out to you, especially in voiceover, one of the biggest things is like dropping the radio voice. Like, hi, I'm doing a commercial. Like, of here, course. I am selling cars. Like, they don't want that. They want the natural. They want the authentic. They want that real thing. And especially like, and the thing is, like, you and I aren't like introing, extraing songs and taking 60 seconds. I would say one of the harder things is transitioning from all those rules, whether it's like you only have this amount of time to talk, or we tell you, you know, what events to go to, or this or that. Like, the freedom is terrifying, actually. I remember very early on, I had created my logo for my voiceover business, and I just did it myself on Canva. Yep. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, when am I going to launch this? Like, who's going to approve it? And I'm like, oh, mama's in charge. I'm in charge. I can do whatever I want. And so I've, you know, a little power trip there for a second, but also the freedom and the responsibility is very challenging. And I just don't want to undersell how much work it is to build a business, to build a podcast and make it successful. Does that make sense?
No, it's great. It really is, because, and then it's lightning in a bottle too. So you can plug away, plug away, plug away. And then all of a sudden it explodes overnight, but then you still have to maintain those people. And I think for somebody like yourself, that as you just touched on, you got to wait for approval and you got to wait for this and you got to wait for that. But you build it out and then no one's telling you, you know, thankfully Matt's in our life, but no one's really telling you like, wow, that just exploded. You know, we've got to keep, you know, you got to get that micro content out now to maintain that. And it's just going to make your head spin. So you're trying to, you know, build this show. And what's the premise? Like, where do you ultimately want to be with that show? Do you want
have
it to
we
be
moved
the,
to Will?
Not yet. It's sort of like where you're building, like, one of the things that you touched on earlier was the fact that you've got your radio voice and you've got to do this and you've got to do that. And then you switch to podcast mode. And then you got to switch back to, well, we want the Marianne to give us a radio voice, you know, when you're doing your own work. And then you got to turn it off and come back to the pod. And then you got to turn it back on and back and forth. It must be a little bit nerve-wracking.
Not nerve-wracking, but the split attention is my biggest challenge, actually. Because in one day I could, you know, do an e-learning module and voice a podcast and do a radio show. And they're all very different mediums. They're all very, very different and require different skills and different attention. So I would say more exhausting, more than nerve-wracking.
Your first, but when you came out of radio, let me go maybe even back a little bit.
Sure.
A little bit more on this, but when you decided to go into voiceover, did it coincide with you being already in radio? Like, were you doing both of the jobs at the same time?
No.
Or were you in radio first? And then you, once you got let go, you decided to go all in on radio, I believe.
No overlap at all. There was no overlap at all. No, I was pretty confident that I was like, oh, I can do this. Voiceover is very competitive and very hard. Right. I keep saying how hard everything is.
No, but it is. I totally.
But you know that.
I absolutely agree. It is, and all the voiceover guys that I know are the same thing. But it seems that once they get on a bit of a roll, it's fine. But I am curious. Like that first paycheck you got as voiceover on your own, was that the moment where you're like, I got this?
It wasn't until I had my first few months where, like, and here's the thing is like, it's very feast or famine. Like I made most of my money in voiceover in the second half of the year this year, like in a few months, right?
Interesting.
My first half was not great. But that's the thing is like having all these other things I'm trying. What was the question again?
Again, some asshole in the basement asking questions. They're not flowing particularly
my brain lost my
mind. It's more of the idea of like that first paycheck that came in.
First paycheck, sorry.
Were you like, I've got this, I think I can do this now, and I'm not as worried now?
It was 2021. So it was February 2020 when I got laid off. I had 6 months to really kind of figure out what I wanted to do. That entire time, it was not a break. It wasn't a vacation. It was making phone calls. It was figuring it out. It was doing interviews and like charity work. I was trying different things. So I started working late August, 2021, started getting jobs, started booking jobs. And like August, September, October were really, really good. And that's when I realized like, oh, you can do this. You are good enough to do this. I questioned that every single day. Every single day that like I don't get a job or don't book this or don't book that, I wonder. But I have a big enough track record now that I'm like, oh, you can make a living out of this. But my attention again is split between podcasting, radio, voiceover, now live emceeing, all these things. So I'm trying to figure out what do I want to do? What do I want to balance? What's making me money? How do I grow this all? Does that,
No, absolutely. And I guess the other side of it is with it being so competitive, how do you feel when you, because you have to probably submit something. Like, I mean, you got your reel, but you submit something to, I had a neighbor friend of mine that was always submitting things. And how do you feel when you submit something, feel like you nailed it, don't get it, and then hear someone else's voice over that? And you're like, well, I would have done that better. And is it like that in voiceover world, or do you just forget it once you don't get it?
It's very rare that I emotionally attach myself to a role.
Sure.
Very, very rare because you never know.
Right.
Generally speaking, I don't really see a lot of this, like, because I don't own a TV, so I don't see a lot of the commercials. Interesting. But an e-learning, I would never see. Online videos, maybe. But what I have learned is that casting directors or marketing people, whoever are making these, like, they're either looking for a very specific voice or, sure, like, you might just not be it. I still try to keep training. I still try to keep coaching. I still keep trying to learn. But at the end, yeah, of the day, you do it, you forget about it. You know, you just
forget,
like,
about it.
You forget about it. Because you can't emotionally attach yourself to that, because you might be like, yeah, I'm like made for this role. I'm a 34-year-old female that they're looking for who's like, blah, blah. And then you just like, you never hear from them again. Just never, like, so you just have to, like, yeah, you just have to do it and then forget about it.
Do your friends ever, is there a teasing amongst your friends who are like, do the voice, Marianne? Do the voice. I'm not asking you to do the voice. I'm saying, they're like, hey, when everyone's around, Mary, do the voice for the thing. Like, do people ever do that?
No, my friends, like my good friends, no. But like guys on like dates will like ask me, or they'll, I've told this story on Dean's show too, or like a million times, where like guys on dates will be like, they'll be like, oh, I've been told I have a great voice. Like, I should
get me into voiceover.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you.
It's amazing when people don't know, and then they think they know, and then they take you on a date. And they're like, you know, she's in voiceover, right? Can you order the food like you do on that brick commercial? No. Like, you know what I mean? You're like, okay, I gotta go.
No, I'm out.
It must be like it's like any kind of acting. To me, it'd be like any. That's why I'm so fascinated with voiceover world, because mm-hmm. I've got friends in it, and the turn on, turn off part, having to kind of navigate through that side of it is amazing to me. And my one friend who's quite busy in it, who did the intro of my last show, I mean, he's on everything out here. And I'm like, are you on? And I'll just send him a text. You're on that too? And he's like, oh, you recognize that? I'm like, well, you've got a cadence about you that I can tell now.
Cool,
but you know what I mean? I can get him. But I'm like, you're on that? I'm like, what aren't you on as a gag? But it was a funny sort of thing. But I'm fascinated with that world. So it's very interesting to me that you're in it. And I'm very stoked for you that you're, well, I mean, hey, look, you are, and you got a great voice for it. And I love the, all the reels and stuff that you can find on ivansonvoice.com is awesome. There's some really great stuff on there. So leads me to the third portion of this show, which is what will you do next? Where do you want to see this show go? Where do you want to see your career go? What are your plans for the podcast? Go for it.
You know what I was going to do? I wrote down some goals for this year. How about I just share those with you? Is that okay?
Absolutely.
I'm just going to open this up.
Do we need to make this now a self-help show?
I'm not going to tell you how much money I want to make. That's just no personal. I put grow. This is just for this year. What will grow my VO, my voiceover clientele, land a major podcast sponsor or three small sponsors. The thing is like, I'm almost about to bring on a third sponsor.
Amazing.
So I'm pretty much there. What else do I want to do? Okay. Yeah. Some of these are too personal to share, but it's, I find that it's so day to day for me, but essentially I just put this in a tweet that I want to be my own sugar daddy. Which I think kind of explains, I want to be at a point where I have enough clients that are regular and maybe be on retainer that I'm able to like function and take vacations without worrying. And, you know, I'm moving into a new place with bigger rent and like, it's going to be expensive. And I don't want to have that anxiety. I just don't know when that anxiety will go away. But at this point, I'm pretty optimistic about 2023. I have a hard time looking past that, to be totally honest. I have a hard time. But like for my podcast, I was even just talking to Matt about this. One of my big goals this year is I want to make sure that it's more diverse, more people of color. I also want to branch out into the United States and have more American guests, more international guests as well. Because I think there's a big problem with diversity and inclusion in the outdoors. So I want to make sure I have guests on who are able to speak to that. So that's what I want with the podcast. I want to keep growing the podcast. I want to make money off the podcast. I'm very like succinct with this voiceover. same stuff. I just want to like keep growing, make more money off of that. Yeah, it's honestly just growing money, building my contacts. That's all I can say at this point. It's really like, and be able to play outside and have good work boundaries and have good play time. That's essentially it.
The show, and I'll let you go in a minute because I know you got to run, but the, let's take this outside. You want to get more diverse and you want to, you know, kind of go down these various paths, but there's not really any boundaries with that. It's really opening you to have discussions with anybody that's outside, or are you trying to specifically be like, we're going to have the best climber on, the best, you know, track star on, the best this, the best that, or do you want to actually have it be an all encompassing podcast that covers everything outdoors?
I want people who can tell a good story, who connect with nature. That's essentially the number one goal. Yeah. I do want big, you know, I want people who maybe are more experts or maybe gold medalists or people who have huge social media followings, whatever success means nowadays. But the goal is to, have those bigger guests. And again, at the end of the day, it has to be a good story. And for me to want to put out good content.
Do you have a favorite episode so far that you've done?
No, I can't say that. No. Every time I put one. Okay. Do you do this too? Cause I listen to them. Cause I'm anal about it.
Sure.
But did you ever would you ever listen back and be like, oh no, this is my favorite episode. Oh no, this is my favorite.
Well,
it happens every week. Every 2 weeks it happens.
I liken it to, and I've never been in radio, but I liken it to when maybe you were given an opportunity to interview an artist or something. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden that artist gives you something that you weren't expecting. Mm-hmm. That's the highlight for me, is when when you get sort of like, or you get surprised by somebody that's giving you more than you thought that they would give you. Mm-hmm. So those ones for me were great, you know. Or performance of a certain episode, like on my last one, I had one of the best coffee roasters in the world. It became one of my most downloaded episodes, and I had big giant rock stars on the show. I had all this stuff, but it was the head of, you know, one of the biggest coffee roasters for independent sustainability in the world. And he brought all of his people with him. So what I'm saying is like that to me versus favorite, it's more like my biggest surprise and my favorite surprise was that. Cause that was like, I wasn't expecting that whatsoever.
Open to being surprised.
Right.
Be open to, like, some of my favorite episodes are the ones, I said I didn't have a favorite, but some of my favorite episodes are where I'm learning, like from the scientists, the experts, and you're like, whoa, my mind is absolutely blown. Honestly, some of my favorite quotes or conversations have been with people that I wasn't expecting. Like, right? I wasn't sure what to expect. I love being surprised, and I love creating great content for others to listen to.
So let me rephrase that question then. Mm-hmm. What was your biggest surprise so far?
Ooh.
of those shows where you were like, wow, that I've learned something here, and you know, that's my biggest surprise.
I kind of knew. So even just my last guest, Ted Khalil, who's actually Matt Kundle, is one of Matt Kundle's like good friends. Ted and I had like a pre conversation before, but Ted has like, you know, a normal like bank day job, and you know he sits at a desk, but he also is the chair of Nordic Canada, for example, right, too. So that was one of my biggest surprises, because like he's so well spoken, he's a huge supporter of females in sport as well. Mm-hmm. So that I'm just referring back to that because it's the most recent episode too. But like that was one of my biggest surprises too, was like, you know, we have this guy who has this normal day job who wears a suit, but also here's this guy who like loves the outdoors and loves supporting females in sport and wants to help move that forward.
There's a saying in the music business, the Canadian business especially, which is like, not enough money for a cab, too famous for the bus. And in that particular case, that's all, most of the female athletes, or most of the athletes that I know. I've got a Paralympian coming up. One of my great friends is Mercedes Nickel, who's like a Olympian. But it's like, it's a grind, and it's the Canadian grind, you know. Mm-hmm. It's in everything that we do, but mm-hmm. I wouldn't change it for anything. We live in one of the most beautiful parts of the world, and you've got a show that talks about exploring some of those parts. It's called Let's Take This Outside. It's an amazing show dealing with the outdoors. Why don't you tell everybody all the other things about where they can find you online. I'll put up a little bit of stuff here, and then we'll let you go.
Sure. Letstakethisoutside.ca is my website for my podcast. Ibisonvoice.com is my like professional voiceover website where you can get a hold of me. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Just find Marianne Iveson, MA on the air on Twitter, MA Iveson on Instagram. Like there's just like LinkedIn. I hate LinkedIn, by the way, but I'm on LinkedIn. It's the worst. It's the worst. Anyway, this is fun. This is super fun.
Well, I am super grateful that you made the time to come on today. This is show number 2, and I, you know, it's still building out. You'll see that out of respect to Matt and the fact that you're here, I have removed the microphone from the bottom corner for at least a portion of this interview for the people watching at home. That's Marianne Iveson. Hopefully you'll come back down the road, and yes, the next time it's do did will, it'll be a year from now. Like, what have you done since? And maybe it's blown up even more. And I'm a firm believer that that's going to happen, because it's a great show and everyone should listen. So thank you so much, friend.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. We'll see you next time.
Come on a journey like no other, where you will discover many roads that will lead you to a happier, healthier, and more stress-free life. And the beauty is, you don't need any vacation time for this adventure. The journey will come to you. Join Avery Rich on your very own journey into yoga. Along the way, she will demystify yoga poses and guide you into a yoga posture or short sequence, all in less than 15 minutes. You have nothing to lose but stress. The Journey into Yoga podcast. It's not for people who like yoga. It's for people who don't like yoga. Follow or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at AveryRich.com.
It is your favorite girl. That's right. It's the Ali Mars, the one and the only. Everyone else just ain't me. I am the host of Welcome to Mars, a lifestyle podcast where nothing is off the table. I have come a long way from sex and dating and have transformed the new vibe to all things lifestyle. We still talk sex, but I'm more interested in the journey, where people have come from, how they made it, and where they're going. Subscribe or follow to a brand new look and a brand new era. Welcome to Mars.
Subscribe or follow on Apple, Spotify, Google, or at theallymars.com.
Because even with the new look, I'm still that same bitch you love to hate.